deficit of 1,500 churches across our land. Those are communities that no longer have the gospel being proclaimed from those kingdom outposts.
And what we're about is coming alongside these pastors and helping them. We've got 40 years of church revitalization work under our belts. And so our goal is to come to churches and ask for support. And the big support is prayer support.
Amen.
So I'm going to pass this along.
Could we have your brother come on up and take this?
Pass that through.
So she doesn't have to come all the way down yet? There we go. Yes, please. And this is going to circulate, and then after the service, we'll make sure it ends up on the table in the lobby. We're just asking for your prayer support because we can tell already just from worshiping with you folks, you guys know that unless the Lord builds the house, the laborer builds in vain. This is a work of prayer. It's got to be Spirit-led, and so we need your prayers.
It's key. I won't go over that too much, but as a believer, you know how prayer affects your life and your lives around you. So we covet those prayers from you all. And I think I'll get down and you can read the scripture.
Before you go, we were here, we were privileged to be here during the adult Bible class, and if you missed that, you really missed a great time in the Word. And Pastor Stan, I'm going to paraphrase this, so I probably won't get it an exact quote, but he kind of closed out the session with a question, and it was a very challenging question. How do you know that you are Spirit-led today? How do you know that the Spirit of God is leading you today? And that question really resonated with me because one of the points that he had brought up was that when you're led by the Spirit, you don't necessarily know where you're going to end up. You just know that you need to be where God is calling you to be now. And I want to tell you that in this ministry that we officially started February 1st, we don't know where we're going to end up. Frankly, in our own strength, we don't know how we're going to do this. We've got our camper in your parking lot. Thank you very much.
It's that way.
In my head, it's wherever I point. But the thing is,
directionally
challenged I am, that's true. But the point is that God has called us to this. Our hearts break for the churches that close that don't need to close, that can turn around and can be powerhouses for the gospel and for the kingdom once again. And so we're going to go where God leads us. And if you want to be a part of that as our prayer supporters, we treasure that. And we'll be happy to meet with you out in the lobby and talk with you a little bit more about it.
We do have a little pamphlet.
Yeah.
Tells you a little bit of what we're doing. And if you want to take that home to remind you to pray for us, feel free.
Yeah.
And the mic now was on you and not me, so I'm gone.
Thank you, brother. Pastor Stan asked if I would read the scripture this morning that he'll be preaching from, and we're in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 13. I'll be reading from verse 1 through verse 35, and then we're going to pick it up again in verse 47 through verse 52. So if you have your Bibles available. And just so you know, maybe I should read from up there because that'd probably be better, as long as my trifocals will focus. There we go. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like the yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the blazing furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? Jesus asked. Yes, they replied. He said to them, therefore, every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. And then you want me to pick up in verse 47? Is that correct? I did. I got it. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Brother Stan.
Brother. So my understanding also is you and Lynn, your lovely bride, celebrating an anniversary this week.
That's correct. Wednesday.
How many years?
48
years. 48 years. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You're setting the pace and setting the example, right? Amen, brother. Thank you for that. Jesus talking in parables. Again. Parables, kind of that simple story to illustrate a moral or a spiritual lesson. And each parable usually contains one point. Though we like to elaborate on it and pick it all apart and do all kinds of stuff, and we love to do that, and we do that. So I'm going to pick on a couple of the parables. One would be the yeast. I think the next one are the mustard seed, the yeast, and the net. That's kind of what we just read. So he told them this parable: the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it becomes the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree. So that with the birds come and perch in its branches. Well, there you go. There's a parable. So what's the point? Thank you, Jesus. What's the point? What's the point? Is it about the mustard seed? We get that mustard seed of faith. Got to be about the garden. The tree? Growing. Got to be about the birds and the tree. Well, yes, Pastor. It's about all of that. Yes. Yes, that's the point. It's about the man. Is it? What's the point? Anybody? Well, come on, Tim. I see you raising your hand. What? What? Oh, it's about the growth. It's got to grow. Anybody else? What? See what you get. Okay, yeah, I'll illustrate that in a second. What? The kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like. That's contained in every one of those parables. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sows seeds. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast in a big vat of dough. Kingdom of heaven is like a hidden treasure. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for a pearl. The kingdom of heaven is like a fishing net that's cast out of it. I think it's about kingdom of heaven. I think Jesus might be trying to say something. I think he might be trying to convey a little bit of something through the parables. And maybe even, maybe it's a stretch, but I don't think it's really a stretch. Probably very annoying when he's talking in parables, because that's all he's saying. Talking in parables. Even if he just does that for a day or 2 days, maybe if he does it for a week, he got a crowd following him around, you know. Hey, Jesus, can you heal my hand? Jesus, Jesus, hey. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. And it's like, what? What? Speaking only in parables. To the crowds, to the people. And they've never, the crowds, the people, they've never seen anything like this before. They've never seen anything like this before. They've never heard anything like this before. Who is this rabbi? Man, he's preaching something, teaching something. He's talking in ways that are just weird. Yes. He's definitely very unique in all that he is doing. Do you think Jesus is unique in his ways? Probably yes, right? I mean, here's one right here. Speaking in parable. Where did that come from, right? That's a fulfillment of all the prophecy. He's saying who he is by what he's saying and how he's saying it. Speaking in parables. Whether you get it or not, this is what he was saying and how he spoke to the crowds. And do you understand these things, right? We got to get that to the end. Do you understand these things? Oh, yeah, sure, yeah. Yeah, I know what a mustard seed is. Sure, yeah. I've seen a fisherman with his net. Yeah, I get it, yeah. Jesus is very unique in his ways. Do you think Jesus is still unique in his ways? How about this statement? I had to wrestle with it for a while before I could kind of just wanted to say it. Jesus is as unique as you are. What do you mean by that? Well, there's no one else like you on the planet. God has seen to it. You are unique. Jesus deals with you very uniquely. Your struggles, your issues may not be my struggles and my issues. Your sins may not be my sins, but they're still sins. Where your weakness, I might be strong. Where I'm strong, you might be weak. Jesus is dealing with each and every one of us very uniquely. And oftentimes in ways that kind of seem very general, like a parable. The kingdom of heaven is like, and we're all grabbing hold of it in our own unique way. Some of us are going to gravitate towards the birds. Some of us are going to gravitate towards, it's got to grow big. Some of us are going to gravitate towards the man. Some of us are going to gravitate towards the seed. And it's all the kingdom of heaven is like. And that's just the mustard seed, a couple little verses. And he goes on and on. Kingdom of heaven is like, kingdom of heaven is like, kingdom of heaven is like. For the mustard seed, it's the smallest of all things that grows, right? So small things, big influence. There you go. There's your people like Dick Notes. Small things, big influence, right? This says, I have a mustard seed and I'm not afraid to use it. Height does not measure heart. Width does not measure a man's will. The length of something cannot measure one's determination. Solid, liquid gas, H2O. Solid, liquid gas. Same element, different form. Past, present, future, time in a different form. It's kind of the trinity of trinities, isn't it? When you think about it. Height, width, length, solid, liquid, gas, past, present, future. Kind of the trinity of trinities. In the beginning, God created. And all of those elements are in that. The kingdom of heaven is like. Kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in a field. Well, before we talk about it being small, I'd really like to talk about it being planted. You are of no earthly good if you consider yourself a mustard seed of faith, but you're not planted anywhere. You with me? You're of no earthly good. You need to be nurtured and watered and tended to and pruned even, right? Even the mustard seed will lie dormant until it is planted. And perhaps your life has even felt dormant. Maybe for a time. Maybe you're not planted anywhere. Perhaps your life is not growing as it should. Are you planted? Growing roots and growing up, growing into that big shrub in the garden. When I traveled a lot, when I was with the national office, I was up and down the East Coast. So this was basically what happened in a church. I'd blow in to the church, I'd blow up, preach, 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 and blow out. And I just did that. I just go Atlanta, Nashville, Orlando, up to D.C., up in Bangor, Maine. Just bam, 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 just going, 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 right? If I wasn't in a different church, I wasn't doing my calling. So you blow in, blow up, and blow out. Kind of like an evangelist. Tent preachers, apostles, on the move, right? Sharing the gospel, sharing the good news, and move on. Hard to grow roots. Then you start to hang out with some folks. Been hanging out with a lot of you for a decade, over a decade. You get to see the same people over, over, over again. And you get to know them. You get to know where they work. You get to know where they play. You get to know their kids. You get to know their sense of humor. You get to know the foods they like and they don't like. And there's a depth to the relationship that happens, isn't it? There's a depth to the relationship that only takes place when you're planted somewhere and you begin to grow some roots and some depth. Traveling a lot, I would church hop, right? You could see that, town to town, state to state, move, 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 move. People church hop. People church hop. You know that? We have some. Pop in, pop in, pop in, pop out. Pop in, pop in, pop out, right? They do that. You can grow big and strong, but you're going to have to get planted somewhere. Well, you know, I like that church because the pastor preaches really good. I like that church because the praise team's really awesome. I like that other church over there because the children's program's really cool. I like that church over there because they got a really good fellowship and a Bible study. That's consumer Christianity. Consumer Christianity. And the only thing you're serving is your own pleasure. Not getting roots or deep anywhere. You're not going to grow that way. In fact, many people like to do that because they avoid people getting to know them. Been there. Been there. Want to go somewhere where nobody knows my name. Right? This is sometimes big churches, right? I call it mass. Mass them in, and they mass them out. They mass them in, and they mass them out. And if it is required that you be planted in order to grow, where are you planted? Where are you planted? What seeds are you nurturing in your life? What relationships are you even cultivating? I'm trying to avoid relationships, Pastor. Because people get to know me, they don't like me. I'm divorced. I've been in jail. I'm a recovering alcoholic. People get to know me. They don't like me. That's not this church. That's not the kingdom of God. That's in your head. That's the enemy talking to you and you believing it. God didn't say those things about you. You're saying those things about you. God didn't say that about you. The church says, come, brother. Come, sister. Come. Come, we'll walk to the cross together. Come, get planted with us. Walk with us. We learn of each other. And what thoughts are you holding captive in your mind right now? What are you dwelling on? What captivates your heart? How is the Holy Spirit speaking to you right now? Would you consider yourself planted in a church? Would you consider yourself planted in this church? Would you consider yourself planted in a fellowship or in a small group or in a Bible study? Would you consider yourself planted in a marriage? Many people go into marriage. They ain't thinking long-term and roots. They're thinking pleasure-seeking. My needs, my wants, my, right? Love is reversed. Different. We have to be very careful about what we plant and what we cultivate. So here's that mention. I read a Reader's Digest article. Now they sent out the Reader's Digest to all their subscribers, and it included a little mustard seed, just to illustrate the point about the parable of the mustard seed. And they said, the guarantee, you plant this seed somewhere and you plant it, it's going to grow, and it's going to grow into a great big shrub. It's going to be awesome. And so one reader writes back several months later saying, yes, indeed, this was amazing. The seed, in fact, did grow large, and it produced wonderful tomatoes. Apples produce apples. Pears produce pears. Good fruits produce bad fruit. Yeah. Melinda and I have been trying to grow a mango tree. So if you know, we have a couple mango trees in our backyard, and you got to get a mango, and you got to get to the seed, and then you got to plant it. The seed does no good just in your hand. You got to plant it in order for it to be able to grow. The kingdom of heaven is like a seed planted. You got to plant the seed. But in order for this mango tree, this mango seed to grow into a mango tree, we have to plant it, but then something else has to take place. In order for us to get good fruit that mimics the fruit of that tree, anybody know what we have to do? We have to graft it, right? We have to graft this sapling of a seed that grows up. We have to graft into this sapling seed the mimic the tree that we want to mimic. We like when it blooms. We like the taste of it. We like to see it. We have to graft it into that particular plant. Just because you plant the plant and plant the seed does not mean that you get the desired fruit. That's interesting. That's interesting. We're going to have to graft into the tree that we want to duplicate, the tree that we want to become, the good fruit that we yet want to desire. Like, much like being grafted into the Lord, right? You can plant in the wrong place and never be grafted into much of anything. We must be sure of the kind of fruit that we want to get. So we're going to have to graft into the Lord, graft into a good church, graft into good fellowship. So here's your warning. Be aware of where you are planted and what you are gathering and what you are grafting. Careful where you plant yourself. Careful what you feed your mind. Be careful who has access to this powerful thing the Lord has given you. It will influence the way in which you walk, and the way in which you think, and the way in which you interpret the world. Be very careful where you're planted and what you're grafting into. What kind of fruit are you producing? Take a moment, just think about it. What kind of fruit are you producing in your own life, this past week, this past month, through the entire pandemic? What kind of seeds have you sown? What kind of weeds have you grown? See, God has he's very interested in your character. The smallest of things can display your faith. The smallest of things can display your love. The smallest of things that grow big into the lives of others. The good news of Jesus Christ that has influence. Imagine just growing where you're planted. Growing in such a way that your life has influence to those that are around you. To your wife, to your kids, to your coworkers, to those that are around you. If you've ever mentored someone, or if you've ever raised up a child, then you know what it is. A smile can make a day. A compliment can encourage someone along the way. When you see a cashier having a bad day and you say, keep on going, Lord's with you, it's going to be a wonderful day. It makes them smile. It turns their phrase from one way to another. Your little bit of a mustard seed of faith that's in you that you can sow and put out into the world. The very faith of Christianity started with a very simple little mustard seed of faith in a few people. The Alliance started as a mustard seed of followers. This church started a mustard seed of followers that believed in something that would grow if they took root and they grafted themselves carefully into the Word and into the Lord. We dare not underestimate the power of small faith, the simplest of faith, blind faith, the simplest of hopes, because God honors your faith. God honors your loyalty. God wants you to grow. He honors your faithfulness. He honors your commitment. He honors your desire to serve. And that's kind of the description of the parable. It's not just about becoming a tree, which the birds come and sit in its branches for security and comfort. Really? Are all birds friendly? Do all birds vote like you? Do all birds think like you? The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that grows big, and then the birds come. And they seek shelter and comfort. But man, there are some weird-looking birds. They act really weird. They cook really weird. They dress kind of weird. Imagine that. There they are, nesting right in the kingdom of heaven with you. This church is like a mustard seed. You are like a mustard seed. People will be drawn to where you are planted. And I pray you are planted in a wonderful, nurturing garden, and you can grow some deep roots. Then he continued on with another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. It's a small steps, big impact, is your next one. Small steps and a big impact. The general thrust of the parable is the same as the mustard seed. The kingdom of heaven is like, it's something small. I want you to think about it this way, with me if you can. This is your next slide, actually, if you're able to even read it. The kingdom produces ultimate consequences way out of proportion to its beginnings. The kingdom produces consequences way out of proportion to the beginnings. A small seed produces a great big garden shrub of a tree. A small faith produces great results. A small amount of yeast in a big vat changes everything. In this parable, the yeast works its way through the entire dough. Now, if we land on the Old Testament looking at what the yeast is all about, the yeast is good, not good. It's evil. It's bad. Yeast, not good, working its way through the dough. We could quickly draw the conclusion also that, well, you know, it's like faith, like the mustard seed. It's like having a little bit of a mustard seed of faith, you know, a little bit of yeast within the big vat of dough. It produces the good faith. It produces the good things. It works its way throughout the entire, just so we know, just like faith will grow, sin will grow. It starts small and it grows big. As sure as faith transforms, as sure as faith grows, as sure as faith affects others that are around you, sin transforms, sin grows, and sin affects all those that are around you. I like to think of it a little bit more like this. The mustard seed as growing outwardly, more visible. You can kind of see it. Where the yeast kind of works inwardly, kind of unseen. A little mustard seed has great external growth and has deep roots, where the yeast permeates into the dough, causing an internal transformation. Small steps, big impact. It's the small steps that you take that lead to big heights, right? The journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step, right? Just like that picture, pushing a rock, just keep pushing the rock, keep pushing the rock, pushing the rock. You have great potential. You have untapped potential. You are empowered. You have great ability to impact those that are around you, your family, your friends, your coworkers. You will affect and infect those that are around you. You will. With evil or with righteousness? You will, with sin or with hope. Regardless, you have an impact into the lives of those that are around you. Once again, what's your week been like? Like the yeast that will work its way quietly through the dough, the effects can really be unseen and invisible, even unspoken. Listen, I can look at my wife, she doesn't have to say a word, and I can tell, well, there's a mood. Anybody else? She's rarely moody, by the way. It's what's on the inside coming out, displaying itself, right? Your manner of being, your words, your actions, the steps that you take. Take steps towards holiness, right? Not sinful desires. The yeast in you is rising. The yeast in you is rising. It's going to make its way out. Does not have to be for evil. Does not have to be for sin. The yeast in you can give rise to good fruit. The yeast in you can rise to give praise to God. The yeast in you can rise to give forgiveness. The yeast in you can rise to offer compassion and mercy and love. The yeast in you can rise and the whole batch of your life can be good. The kingdom of God was ushered in without any grand displays, without pomp and without circumstance, without parades. Jesus arrived on the scene quietly in a manger and he drew a few people to him humbly and he grew slowly. And this is what has surprised all of those that are watching Jesus as he's speaking and talking in ways never even heard before, never even seen before. And many people are coming and understanding, man, this is going to be the guy that's going to lead. He's going to be the guy that's going to give us the revolution that we want. He's going to be the guy that's going to overthrow all this oppression of the Roman government. He's going to be the guy. He's the one. We love this Jesus. Yeah, keep talking, Jesus. We love that. This must have surprised a lot of people when there was no political uprising on his behalf, when there was no manifestation of a government overthrow. Jesus, please solve our problems. Jesus, can you just end the war in Ukraine? The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. What are you talking about, Jesus? We need you now. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sows seed. What? This is annoying. We need you to do something. I did. What kingdom are you talking about? This world? Your world. The kingdom of heaven looks very different than the world expected. Here's your next slide. What are you expecting the kingdom of heaven to look like in the world? What are you expecting the kingdom of heaven to look like in your life? What expectations do you have for Jesus? Has he met them? Or do you have wrong expectations? Are you thinking the same ways that Jesus thinks? Or are you thinking the way the world thinks? Heaven forbid you rely on the way you think. Can we look back? Can we look back and say, yeah, absolutely. God's been in my life. Jesus has been in my life, for sure. Can we say that? Anybody? Am I the only one? Anybody have hands? Oh, okay, some of us. Not so much Christian. Okay, yeah. So we'd say, yeah, I could look back on my life and go, oh, absolutely, God was there. Jesus was there, baby. Yeah, all of them. Yeah, man. Is he there now? Is he here now? And if you feel as if he's not, has he changed? Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then you have a testimony. Hey, yeah, man, I can recognize Jesus back then, man. That was a miracle in my life. Jesus did something amazing. Where are you now? I don't think it's Jesus that's changed. We have been influenced by the Holy Spirit of God, transformed to be and have a higher purpose and a higher plane in our life, our work must be for God. Small steps have impact, right? And so oftentimes it's those simple things that are right around you. Many times the scriptures would suggest, or, you know, if you can't take care of your own family, how are you going to take care of the family of God if I give you something bigger? If I can't trust you with the small things, how am I ever going to trust you with the big things? If I can't trust you with 20 bucks, how am I ever going to trust you with 200? If I can't trust you with 200, how am I ever going to trust you with a couple hundred grand? If I can't trust you with a couple hundred grand, how am I ever going to trust you with a few million? You see, God thinks differently. The smallest of things make the biggest of changes. Let's start with some small steps. Don't be afraid of small steps. Don't be afraid of the humble beginnings. Each of us plays a part, and God is at work within you uniquely in your life. Each of us is important. Important to the church, important to this church. And sometimes it's often the seemingly insignificant that changes everything. It's a little bit of yeast. It works its way for the good. Or are you one of those that likes to work the yeast for the bad? You're going to do it. It's going to be one or the other. Do you bring joy into the room, or do you bring hopelessness? Do you bring light and anticipation, or do you bring, oh my God, the world's going to hell in a handbasket? Debbie Downer, that's why we invited you. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. What kinds of fish? When it was full, the fishermen pulled it back up on the shore, and then they sat down and they collected the good fish in the baskets and they threw the bad ones away. And this is how it will be at the end of the age. That's fast approaching. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous. Who does that? The angels separate, right? The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into a blazing furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Any other descriptions you got for that? Great big void, hell, Hades. Have you understood these things? Jesus asked.
Yeah.
Sure. Of course. Small life, big eternity. There's your next one. Small life, big eternity. This parable, that particular one ought to scare the hell out of you. And it should scare the hell out of you, or at least recalculate and reimagine what you think about gnashing of teeth and where the blazing furnace is, or what that is and what that describes. Jesus describing, I don't know, maybe hell? You think? You with me? Maybe? Are you a disciple of Jesus? There's a hell. There's a place where there's a burning furnace where the bad fish go. You get that, right? This is what Jesus said. Now, please, if you don't believe that, please don't call yourself a disciple of Jesus, because you're not. You're not. And you're just beginning to understand your Christianity and following and being a disciple of Christ if you think Jesus is one of many ways. Don't call yourself a disciple of Jesus. You're not. Because I have to get rid of everything I think and land on what he says. He says there's a furnace that's blazing and there is weeping and gnashing of teeth for the bad fish. I think we're all in the net. And the angels are coming. And the end of the age is fast approaching. And when the angel grabs hold of your little fin and says, basket or blazing furnace? What do you want? We all want the basket, baby. Give me the basket. Well, why should I throw you in the basket? Oh, I was a good person. No. Well, I gave enough to charity. No, no, no. I never divorced my wife. No. I have four kids. No. What's the, what? What?
Believe in Jesus.
Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to make you a preacher. Amen, brother. Thank you. This was kind of a challenging phrase. I didn't know one of those ones. Again, I don't know. Should I say this? If you don't believe Jesus, I'm not sure you can believe in Jesus. This is you and me being fishers of men, casting out the net to all of humanity, trying to reel in the fish, right? Go, right? Be fishers of men. I will teach you, right, to be fishers of men. God says you catch them, I'll clean them, right? I separate the wheats from the tares. I'll separate the sheep and the goats, right? I do that, not you. I do that, not you. I separate them out, not you. I separate them. The reality is the net is full, not of fish. Do we get the parable? People. People. Full of people. That's what the net's full of. This church is full of all kinds of people. Our net should be full. And do I dare say it? Oh, this is what challenging. The net should be full. Oh, this is going to scare some of you. I know it. The net should be full of good fish and bad fish. I don't know. Can you belong to a church like that? Is it get your life straight and come to church? Or is it come to church and get your life straight? Guess what's coming, folks? If you're going to cast out your net and you're reeling them in, your net's going to be full of people. Think different, act different, vote different, dress different, smell different. You just name it, different than you. Is that okay? Is that okay? I don't separate them. I catch them. He cleans them. I point them to the cross. That's all I know. I know what Jesus did for me, and he could do it for you. That's all I know. I just keep pointing you to the cross. I just keep pointing you to the cross. I just keep praying to the Lord. Keep asking Jesus to forgive you. Keep pointing to the cross. Get filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Start following God. Start doing God's things instead of your things. Start doing God things instead of world things. Just start following God. Just watch what a little bit of faith will do. Just watch what one little step in his direction will do. He'll be like that father coming running to his prodigal son. We all must be about our father's business, preaching and teaching and discipling and learning and growing. I don't know if I have time for this. The end is fast approaching. Many of us know it like this. See, when I grew up a financial planner, I understood things kind of simply. There's an accumulation phase, there's a conservation or preservation phase, and then there's a distribution phase. That's your whole life, however you want to put it, right? Your life, 20 to 80, it's your whole life. There's an accumulation phase. Probably all been there, got to accumulate, got to get. When am I going to get security? How am I going to get money? I got to get a house, got to get a car, got to get a better job, got to make more money, right? Just accumulate. Anybody ever been there? Yeah, been there, done that, kind of got to get. And then you move into this place, well, now I got to keep my house, got to keep my car, got to preserve everything. I got my 403B, I got my 401K, I got my IRA, I got to keep it all, got to preserve it all. And then eventually at some point, maybe some of you are even here now, there comes a distribution phase. Now all that you've accumulated, all that you've tried to preserve, now you're going to try to distribute, either to yourself or to your kids. You get it? Not complicated, right? Pretty simple. Not too complicated in the financial world. That's how it kind of works. In the kingdom planning phase, it's a little bit more like gathering, discipling, and separating. Going to gather them all up. Got to gather them all up, right? Go into all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you, and I will be with you to the end of the age. Gathering them up. Come on, go be fishers of men. Go sow some seeds. right? Even a little bit of faith in someone will be great and grow big. Gather them up. And then you got to preserve. Now you got to disciple them. We make disciples, we mature believers, and we multiply ministries. This is what we do over and over and over. It's like speaking in parables over and over and over again. You got to preserve what you got. You got to get people involved in the church. And then at some point, the scriptures are clear. At some point, the end of the age or the end of your age, cash in, baby. It's the cash in. It's a distribution phase. You're going somewhere. Where are you going? You're going somewhere. Jesus says, you're going somewhere. And if you don't think there's life after death, again, please don't call yourself a Christian. That's not what Jesus says. Don't be a disciple of Jesus, please, if you believe differently. Jesus says, you're going somewhere. There will be a distribution phase. Little fishy, into the basket, or into the blazing fire. At some point, and the point is getting closer by the day, making a difference for God starts with the one simple step, the small faith, a small commitment, a small belief, a small trust, small net, right? Small life leads to a big eternity. Amen, amen. I'll end there. Let's pray for you guys. Father in heaven, I just want to come before you and take this opportunity to say thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the way in which you continue to minister and work among us. And Father, I would pray for those that have gathered here in this place today that your spirit would move mightily among each and every one of them. And Father, that you would deal with them very uniquely, as only you can. I pray that you might use the lyrics of a song or the words of a sermon or a testimony that was given. Father, a handshake, a word of encouragement. May they feel the love of Christ in this place. May this campus, Father, have the Holy Spirit of God, where grace and mercy and forgiveness and compassion reigns. And Father, in this place, may all the fish be gathered. May all the birds come and rest. Whatever their needs are, whatever their past is, whatever they look like, smell like, act like, vote like, Father, draw them to your kingdom that you may speak to them. And we'll humble our hearts. We desire to be led by you and your Holy Spirit. Guide and lead, inspire and protect. Let us not be afraid to do the work that you've asked and called us to do. In the name of your Son, we pray. Amen. Amen.